Seen you locked and changed, didn't ease my pain. Left me feeling ashamed out in the rain. Can't explain the pain, how I stay sane. Don't like the game, will it ever change?
Dr. Tommy Watson, and welcome to Resilient Stories Podcast, where we share the grit and glory behind amazing stories of people like you who have bounced back from failure and adversity, going to live their best lives on purpose. Today's show is being sponsored by Million Dollar Business Pathway, but we believe everyone has a story to tell and sell. If you want to learn how to tell and sell your story, go to tawatson.com under the Programs and Products tab. Click on Million Dollar Business Pathway to get yourself started. Are you guys ready for another fantastic show today? Joining me, I have my man, Karan Wiley. What's up, man? From Saints and Sinners, man. How you doing, brother?
What up, King? What's going on with you, bro? How you been, man?
Good to see you, man. I'm very, very honored to have you on the show, brother. So for those folks who may not be able to watch Saints and Sinners on a regular basis, man, just introduce yourself to us and tell us what latest you got going on.
Man, you steady yourself, man. Karan Joseph Riley, man, actor. You might find me on Saints and Sinners, Ambitions, that's on Stars. About 10 different Christmas movies, if you so happen to see Christmas movies every year. Just a lot of different stuff, you guys. I've been really blessed in this career. That's me, man. I'm an actor, a father, a husband, a producer, a writer, a director. I'm a black man who knows his power, man.
That's what I'm talking about. This man doing, are you rapping? You rapping too?
Hey, if I need to. Hey, man, we come from a people build pyramids, Tommy. It's nothing we can't do, man. That's how I live. That's how I see the world, baby.
That's right. That's right, brother. I'm with you there, man. So, again, it's an honor for you to be on, man. And, again, for those of you who don't know, Karan, I played football at the University of Minnesota. Karan came in after me, man. It is an honor, man, to see a brother go from being a football player, man, to be a top-notch
still an all-time university sack leader, too, just –
That's what I'm talking about. He was doing his thing up there, man. When Karan came in, they were actually winning. We were losing, man, before Karan got there, man. So we appreciate y'all putting us back on the map, Karan.
All good. You're welcome.
Yeah.
Hey, now, if I get to Minnesota, the University of Minnesota give me the same thank you, I might be getting somewhere.
And we need to reach out to them folks, tell them they need to show the brother some love, man. Yeah. So the purpose of the podcast is really introduce our listening audience, man, to amazing people like you, and have you share your story of some of the challenges you faced, man, and walk us through how you got through it so we can learn and listen from that, man. So again, I'm gonna jump into the first question, Karan. What's been the biggest obstacle you've had to overcome in your life, personally or professionally?
When I read those questions, Tommy, I was like, that's a really good question. For me, I mean, I just got finished saying, I believe we come from people who build pyramids. So for me, I kind of consider myself a world beater, man. Like there's no obstacle in my mind that I can't deal with. I really believe that God put everything in us as individuals to do whatever our dreams are given. You know, whatever vision we see, it was put there by the Most High. So you got to believe in yourself so much that there's really nothing, anything that comes in your way, it's got to really be looked at not so much as an obstacle, but just an opportunity to prove to the universe and yourself and just your dream that you really want it, you know? Right. So when you said it, I was like, man, obstacles. I never look at things as so much as obstacles, as just more as challenges. You know, our athletic mindsets too, we're different, you know?
Absolutely.
So for me, for me just to look at the obstacle, I would say for me, it's been time. And it's nothing bad about when I say that. It's just, there was moments in my time in this new journey after I left sports where, you know, doubt would creep in.
Right.
Right before my career kind of took another, you know, blip up, because it goes like that. It goes steady, get a blip up, steady, get a blip up. And for a minute, I was kind of steady, you know. For a while, I was still working in the restaurant business, managing restaurants and just doing a bunch of things to keep the dream alive, taking care of my family. I got to a point where I was really considering quitting acting.
Wow.
Like, it was like, man, I'm just looking at the, you know, I can pretty much do anything I want to do, man. Like, do I want to just change gears and go get something that's secure and, you know, and I tell people all the time, man, the people you have around you will determine the height of your success exponentially, or the depth of your struggle.
That's right.
So at the time he's still a really good friend of mine. He was, his name is Derek Arnold, and he's a police officer, and he's one of those brothers that you look at him like, man, you're a police officer, but you're the kind of police officer we need. Like, that's you right. understand his personality, who he is. So I was in my office at the restaurant, man, and I was like, man, D, I think I might have to switch gears here, man. Like, I need to figure out a way to really secure my family and secure everything, because, you know, I'm doing a job here. I'm acting, and it's just getting hard, man. Maybe right. I should shut it down. He said, man, Karan, shut up, boy. You talking crazy. And I said, what you mean? He said, man, I've seen your work. I've seen your movies. I've seen you, man. That's what you're supposed to be doing.
Wow.
Like, don't start doubting that now. Yeah, I get it. You know, you're getting tired, but everybody get tired for a minute.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, that's this side of your system now. He mm-hmm. said, you're not going to stop. He said, bro, you closer than you think to what you need to get to, right? Mm. And I kind of looked at him, and, you know, I was just, and I realized in that very moment, man, that you almost have a memory of all the times you have those moments in your life, and people close to you, there's times when people have a chance to either pour into you or pull it out of you and finish right. you. You know what I'm saying? Right. I've just been very fortunate over the course of my lifetime that every time I've had those human moments of doubt and just feeling like I may want to stop, I may want to quit, mm-hmm. I've had the right person there
wow.
to pour into me versus pour out of me.
Wow.
You know? So at that moment, man, Derek told me, and I looked up, man, I said, dang, you're right, man. I gotta keep pedaling. I gotta keep moving forward, like no matter what, man. And I tell him all the time, I thank him, because right after that, man, I booked Ambitions and stuff started just taking off crazy. Wow. It was really good, but I think it was also a point in the test of the journey, because there's always going to come a point in the journey that the universe is going to test you. You
know? Absolutely.
Life is going to test you to see if this is really what you want to do, because yes. when you're here for your purpose
yes.
and what you're supposed to be doing, there's going to be challenges. You know, no dream is received without some turmoil, because I always tell people, as a filmmaker and an actor and an entertainer, I mean, when we shoot movies and I'm producing, I'm like, hey guys, listen, there's a story being made within this story.
Yes.
You see what I'm saying? So your life is a story that's being made all the time.
That's right.
So in every movie, every story, there's moments in where the hero has to decide.
Yeah.
Does he want to be the hero? Does he want to go forward? And it's no different than everybody's life. You know what I'm saying? Your life, you had those moments.
Yes.
Did the hero make the right choice? Did the hero decide to keep fighting? Yes, you did, just like I did. So in that moment, I had to make a decision. And I'm thankful for Derek, and I'm always going to be thankful for that, because in the moment of truth, he poured into me instead of pouring out of me. So that's how I got over one obstacle in my life. And I look back, and I can every obstacle since then or before that, that's how I got over all of those as well.
You know, that's powerful, Karan. And, you know, we're both athletes, man. And again, it's amazing how you made the transition from being an athlete to an actor. I mean, I think Jim Brown was one of the folks I think of who did that as well. How much did your athletic mindset play into helping you make that transition?
Well, it helped me tremendously, man. You know, when you make a decision and after you got to decide. You can't be running around and being an athlete saying you play basketball, football, baseball, track, and everything. Because at one point I did all those things.
Yeah.
But when I was trying to go to college, I had to decide.
Mm-hmm.
Am I going to go play football? Or am I going to go play basketball?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's a whole other podcast where I say I should have chose basketball, because football was never my passion. It was never something I loved. Basketball I loved.
Uh-huh.
You know, that was something I would have done for free any day of the week. You know, football, you can't get me to do no football for free at this point in my life ever again. but It was that point, man. I instead of chasing your purpose or your dreams, it's like you take your second choices. I always say go passionate. So now for me as an athlete, I knew that I chose football and that wasn't my passion. I know what that felt like. It was successful. It was great. But I always wanted to be an actor. I wanted to be an actor in first grade, man.
Oh, really?
I even started playing sports.
Really?
I was pushing boots to play, man, in the first grade. And my mom and them, they screamed so loud from that front row when I gave that one line. And I was like, yo, this is what I'm going to be doing forever. You know what I'm saying? So as I got older, you know, growing up in Detroit, it really wasn't an avenue for, you know, the arts like that, you know, coming up in that time. And just, we still was in this country, man. So a lot of times I had examples, but I was just like, I'm going to be that one day, you know?
Sure.
So sports took over and I went with sports. So to bring it back to the original statement, how did sports prepare me? I mean, I made a decision a long time ago. I wanted to be an actor, and athletics was a part of that, because it was like something I was really good at as well. So I honored God, I honored my gift, and I used it until I couldn't use it anymore. And once that was on, I went back to my original passion, which is acting and performing and doing what I did. Even when I played football, I treated it as a performance, bro. Like, you know, you missed the K Boogie era at Minnesota, but it was something special, baby. But it was like I said, I made a decision and I stuck to the plan, like you do with sports, man. When you decide I'm about to play quarterback, you go play quarterback, you know, and that's what you do. So I decided, man, and I tell people all the time, the decision is the seed that you plant. And once you decide, we're so powerful that the universe perks up and listens.
That's right. Yeah.
And now the hard work and the consistent perseverance over time, and the universe continue to see that you really said what you're going to be, it conspires for you. It gives you,
absolutely,
it sends you the people you need to help that become a manifestation. It sends the opportunities. It sends those things to you. And also it's going to send some tests to make sure you really honoring it. You know what I'm saying? Like, do you really want this?
Yeah.
So I think a lot of it, we got to change our mindset what obstacles really are, and are, you know, their confirmation that I'm on the right path.
Yeah, and that's beautiful, brother. I appreciate you sharing that. You know, so early on in your career, when you was making the transition from sports and the restaurant industry, and you were getting those moments of kickback in the acting industry where you're starting to doubt, people watch actors be successful later on in their careers when they got this thing going, though.
Mm-hmm.
Many of us don't get a chance to see the spotlight that's on you when you're starting out. So when you were getting those, whether they're denials or rejections or whatever happening, you know, early on in your career, though, and talk to us about some of the feelings you were dealing with, man, when you're getting those rejections and, you know.
All right. Yeah. So early on my acting career, you know, you go on auditions and you don't get them. I mean, I auditioned. Shit, I got 3 auditions I got to do this week, and I may book one, I may not. But here's the thing, what you learn as you get older and as an actor, and you start understanding yourself as an actor. When I was younger, I'd be like, well, you know what? I still feel this way to a degree. If you don't cast me, then that's just kind of, you just did a disservice to your project kind of mentality. But it's never personal. Like, it really comes down a lot of times if you look and you really start looking at the rejection, really what it is, it's not really rejection. It just wasn't. Not right now, type. Sure. You know what I'm saying?
That's a good point. Yeah.
It's not right now. It's not a rejection. It's basically just not right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what you gotta kind of shift your mind to, and understanding that, and you know, cliche, what's yours will never pass you up, blah, 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 type thing.
Right.
But really that's really true, man. Like, acting is so closely related to athletics. Like, you're not going to get opportunities to do something you're not quite ready for yet.
Okay.
Like, you're not going to get a scholarship to the University of Minnesota if you can't play there, if you can't play at that level.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? So that's basically how this game is. You're not going to get opportunities at certain things into your skill set is there, into the time you put into the craft, into the universe is been the time clock has been punched.
Right, absolutely.
And I started this and I'll say, I know this is gonna take me at least 10 years before I even know if this was the good idea or not.
Okay, that's good.
That's the kind of faith you gotta walk out on in this business. Nobody goes into being a doctor thinking it's gonna happen in 5 years, because that's impossible. It's like being a lawyer. None of those things are highly trained crafts. Just like acting is, you have to put your time in. 10,000 hour rule applies in all facets of life.
Yeah.
So in the midst of me dealing with the rejection, I just keep my eyes on 10,000 hours. It's like, I just got to keep pedaling to my 10,000 hours. You know what I'm saying? That casting director didn't see it. Maybe I'm not ready to show what I need to show. You know, it ain't always about somebody else. It's a lot of times it comes down to what you are, what you're doing. Are you putting enough work in? Are you dedicated to the craft like you say you are? Are you studying the craft? Are you putting in the time in? And if you're doing all those things, man, the rejection doesn't even burn, because you know it's just a matter of time now. It's not about that not being yours. It's just your time is coming, and you train and you stay sharp and you keep working your craft, so when your time does come, you don't drop the damn ball.
Right.
That's the thing I'm always working my ass off for, because it's like, yo, I'm not going to be that guy.
You know what I'm saying?
When they throw me the ball, I'm going to catch it.
That's right.
I'm going to dance. I'm going to do my whole thing, because I done put the work in, and I'm not worried about these little rejections along the time, because those little rejections are just part of the story for when I do get the big win. nobody want to hear a story with all victories. Yeah. It's not a fun story. Who want to watch a movie where the hero never got to make a decision, right, or gets tested or never has to fight through the... That's why Will Smith and them put running scenes in their movies, man. It's something about this whole, the fight that makes people want to go with you. You know what I'm saying?
Makes you relatable, doesn't it? Makes you relatable.
It just makes the story worth hearing.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? So I really embrace it all. I embrace the rejection. Like, it was a time I say, you're going to be on my list. You're going to be this. And they all still on the list. I mean, everybody who does tell me, I keep a list. Yes, that's I right. do. It's cool. And that's just who I am as an athlete. That's what motivates me too. Yeah. Being acting classes on Monday to this day, I train still. Even when I might be in the midst of shooting a movie and I go to class. It's just the things that you got to keep doing to keep going further, because it's a highly competitive business.
Yeah.
It's a 10 million people trying to be what I want to be.
Right.
Just like it was everybody with football.
Yeah.
You know?
Waiting for you to make that one mistake so they can take your position, right?
One mistake. Waiting for me to roll my ankle. Waiting for me to blow my knee out.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And that's the world we live in. I went from one world like that to another one. So I'm used to these shark-infested waters.
Yeah.
Rejection for me ain't never been a problem, man. Once you get past it, you know, to understand your picture is the whole overall picture. You don't really trip on, like, a little paint spill here and there. You look at the whole picture.
You know, that's a great perspective to have, Karan. I appreciate you sharing that. You know, you mentioned Derek on your journey. Was there anyone else who gave you some advice or kind of mentored you early on in your career or even now?
Yeah, man, I've had coaches. I've had all sorts of people along the path, man. Like one of the biggest people that influenced my life early on was just my basketball coach, Benny White, man, in high school. Sure. You know, I was a talented kid, and I was spoiled and bratty, and I didn't know how to be a leader. I didn't know how to, you know, be it again, because I was one of those kids that went from everybody not really paying attention to me to all of a sudden everything came together for me at one time. And of course, I carried a lot of the pain that I was carrying from when people weren't checking for me. So when I got to a status of athletic ability, and everybody was like, "Oh my God, Karan, you the shit." I'm like, "Yeah, I know. You should have been you, whatever. Kiss my butt, you know, whatever." I was a little angry, a little bit resentful, but then my coach broke it down to me. He said, "Man, do you understand the gifts you've been given and the hand you've been given? Like, all those guys out there that you on the team with, you're the only one that's going to make it. Do you understand that?" Mm-hmm. And I'm like, "What?" He said, "Yeah, man, I played with Magic. I played with the guys who have what you got in you." He said, "I know what it looks like." He said, "But you ain't going to be what you're supposed to be until you know what it looks like and you start dealing with it from that perspective as opposed to being mad you got it."
Wow.
So that conversation right there alone changed my molecular structure as a man right then and there.
Yeah.
You know, I started looking at the world completely different. I took off one set of glasses, like, boom, boom. Oh, shit. Okay, I get it, coach. Thank you. And I tell him every time I get to talk to him, "Coach, you know, you're one of the people that changed my molecular structure into what I needed to be as a complete man. And I thank you." That's just one example, you know.
Man, that's awesome. And it sounds like that brother came on in a very imperative point in your life, man.
Very crucial in my life, man. We came at that point where everything was working for me. And I was at a point where I could really mess it up because I was going to let my ego and the things that you know, I believe ego is necessary. But I think we all have to learn how to use it as a tool, as opposed to using it as a crutch.
Yeah.
I think as a young man, I used my ego as a crutch. And as I've grown, I flipped it. Now I actually use it as a tool for what it's meant to be.
Yeah, that's awesome.
You know, so at that time, when you start feeling yourself as a young man, you know, we've seen it. You know, you went to school with a lot of guys that had a lot of talent, a lot of things in their body. You know, wow, this guy is wow. And you could see how the attention that comes with that and the power that comes with that, how it can burn you up if you live through your ego. And I'm thankful that Coach White had that talk with me then, because I carried that talk into college and need to climb and excel. And it kept me from burning up in my own rocket fuel.
Yes.
You see what I'm saying?
That's powerful, brother. Yeah, that's powerful, man. That coach sounds absolutely amazing, brother. You know, as you look back on your journey into transitioning from sports to acting, how would you say that the whole process has changed you, man, since you went from, you know, leaving collegiate sports or professional sports, you played in the league for a little while, and then going into your acting, man, how has that process changed you as a person?
I think it's just really confirmed to me that it's something bigger at work. at all times, man.
That's good.
That the Most High is always prevailing, but I think the most eye-opening thing that I've learned in the last 10 to 12, 15 years, like you said, since this transition has occurred and what's come out on the other side of the wash of this transition, because through that transition, there was changes happening in me as a man. You know what I'm saying? I was starting my family. I just got married. I mean, it was a lot going on, man. Right. You know, I lost my mother in that transition. Wow. It was a lot of things that shaped me to who I am today at 42 years old. And I'm so happy to be right where I am right here, because I know the evolution that it occurs. So I think the basic thing I would say is just, I'm more than ever clear that the Most High resides in us, through us. So basically, your life is exactly what you're gonna make it to be.
Right.
And only person who controls that is Caron Joseph Riley.
That's right.
The good, the bad, the ugly.
That's right.
I have learned that accountability in your wins, your losses, and everything in between is what separates you from almost everybody on the planet.
That's right.
You know? And I still, you know, and you learn, you can't place blame. You have to. And every once in a while, you still slip up, man. That was on. If that wouldn't happen, nope. Something goes wrong, it's my fault.
That's right. And that's good. It kind of carries me to the next question, man. So as you look back on this journey, man, would there be anything you would do differently? Anything you have done differently?
Just for the sake of the interview, I would have played basketball over football.
Yeah.
That is the only thing I can look back on my journey and say I would have done different to live that experience, because I know now what the difference is between going after your purpose and your dream versus chasing money. When I did football, I was chasing money.
Sure.
It was a business decision I made at 17 years old.
Yeah.
Literally. I was 6'3". Football was always easy to me. I knew at 17, barring a crazy injury, I was going to the NFL.
Right.
I had doubt about going to the NBA because of my size. Mm-hmm. Not my skill level, just size. And I went to a real quick story. I went to an AAU tournament my senior year before I decided to take a football scholarship or a basketball scholarship, because I was getting recruited by D1 schools on both sides.
Okay.
All the football schools thought I was going to choose basketball. That's how good I was.
Wow.
Because they would come see you. If you play another sport, they would come see you. They recruit you to see, let's see how good he is in this, right? So all the football teams that was recruiting me, they came and watched me do a football season. Then basketball season started, so they would come back. And all of them that came back to saw me play basketball, they were like, oh, man, he ain't coming to play no football. Like, so I went to his AAU tournament the summer of my senior year, and I saw Kevin Garnett playing basketball up close.
Wow.
And in that moment, I was like, yo, it's a whole nother thing here. And I just don't know if I have enough time in 4 years in college to surpass that.
Yeah.
Because it always came down to me like, damn, do I got enough time to put the work in? Because I still got to go to school. Yep. You know, I'm still going to live. You know, so I'm like, damn, I would have to live in the gym. I would have to be in the basketball gym 6-7 hours a day to give myself a shot. Because I would have had to literally change positions. Being only 6'3", I played in high school at small forward, power forward in high school. You know what I'm saying?
Point guard in the league, huh? Yes.
Well, I'd have been a 2 or 3. I was strong. I still had a really good frame on me. Pepperdine University of Pepperdine was recruiting me. The coach at the time was like, man, you remind me of Toby Bailey. I had a Toby Bailey kind of game. You remember Toby Bailey, right? And he said, but you have a little bit more skill than Toby. So I was like, it was one of those decisions, bro. So it was like, I could have made the transfer, but I would have had to really work the handle and work and learn the game from a whole different position of the floor.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying? I learned it basically from the free throw line down, baseline. Right. My mid-range game was nasty, you know? Yeah. But again, it had to change. So I looked, I was like, okay, if I stay on this course with football, with the time and whatever it is, I'm sure I can do that.
Uh-huh.
Basketball was like a straight decision. Like I said, when I get to the bag going to basketball?
Right.
And it was like, not likely. You know what I'm saying? And the overseas game for us in America wasn't really open like that yet. It wasn't like this whole big pro opportunity to play pro basketball out of the country at that point yet.
Right.
So for me, it was like NFL bust, because I had been saying since I was like 8 or 9, since I started playing sports, I was going to be a pro athlete. Like I'm one of those guys that speak my future.
That's right.
You know, I speak it and I go. You know what I'm saying? I say it loud and I say it proud.
Love it, man. Love it.
And,
yes.
And I dare anybody to say it's not going to happen because I've been doing it since high school. Like my first girlfriend, I said, they're going to want my autograph one day. She's like, Kron, ain't nobody going to want your autograph. I said, you're going to be the first person I call. She was the first person I called when somebody asked me my autograph. And I was, she couldn't believe it. But not to get off topic, I do that sometimes. But yeah, that's it, man.
That's awesome, brother. I appreciate you sharing that, man. And again, you know, one of the things that's been consistent, Kron, I talk to CEOs, to other athletes, to women who have been abused. I ask them to reflect back on anything they do differently. All of them said no. So to the listening audience out there, know that, you know, part of what you're going through struggles-wise is meant to help you who you are, to be who you are and get to that next level. So, Kron, you know, as we look at the 2020, man, we have a lot of people who lost parents, they've lost loved ones, they lost income, they lost possessions, and some of them are trying to figure out how to have hope and to overcome the challenges of 2020, man. What advice can you give them right now to stay firm, man, and get beyond some of the challenges of 2020 to look forward to 2021 being a victory year?
First thing I would say is be grateful that you're still here to be even considering any of these things. You know, like you said, people have lost loved ones, lost parents, and lost material things. But loss is part of life, just like winning is. And in order to have winning feel as good as it does, you got to have loss to feel as bad as it does. So I would encourage everybody, start off with being grateful from where you at first and foremost. Second, I would say always see the glass half full. You know, I think our mindsets create, I said it earlier, but our mindsets create our life.
That's right.
So if you, in this year alone, if you lost a job, if you lost a loved one, or what was the lesson in those things?
Yeah.
You know, what's the lesson in the loss? Because you only lose things when something was wrong.
That's right.
Something wasn't right. You know, you don't lose a job if you created the job.
That's right.
You can't lose what you create from within. That's right. Maybe this thing was telling you that you need to find the source of your true income is yourself. Mm. What do you love? What do you see yourself? What do you see the world needing? And it's probably aligned with something that's gonna help you eat. You know, people gotta get outside of that box of wanting somebody to help them and save them and realize that you gotta save yourself first.
Right.
So I would encourage people to look at the mirror this year. This is one of those years that you got to do a lot of soul searching. Embrace the time that got slow. And, you know, they put a rent moratorium back up until September.
Yeah.
You know, so if you got the money to pay the rent, stash into a saving account, maybe start a new business with that right now.
Yes.
Do something more constructive with it. If they say you ain't got to turn it in, don't turn it in. Build yourself up right now and gamble on yourself. Bet on yourself.
That's right.
Believe in yourself and believe in your connection to the Most High, that he wouldn't put you in a situation that you can't figure out. You know what I'm saying? And if you're Black, understand your power as a Black person of African descent and on this planet, that we're not a minority. We are the majority and we are the ones.
That's right.
You know, see yourself as such and put yourself in perspective and put the world in perspective. Understand that you are a big deal, but at the same time, you ain't nothing but a fragment of a dust.
That's right.
At the same time, know that you are a big deal, but at the same time, understand that you are just a fragment of dust in a giant plethora of a universe.
Yes.
And stay in that balance. And you understand that it's never as good as they say, and it's never as bad as they say.
That's right.
And just keep your eyes focused and keep pedaling onward and upward, you know? Just keep pedaling. That's like my whole thing. You know, I just can't stop, man. Sometimes you got to slow down. Sometimes you got to take a break and get your little Gatorade in you, but get back on that bike and keep pedaling, man.
Man, that's good advice, brother. Kron Riley, folks out there. Hey, you do motivational speaking too?
Nope.
Man, you need to become a motivational speaker, man. I'm pumped up over here after hearing you, man. I'm like, let's go do it, baby. Let's go put it on the pads again. Let's go get it, baby.
Hey, man, so, I just move in my purpose, bro. Yeah. So whenever I encounter somebody, I just be myself and hopefully I do serve you and help you get some power in you to do the next step, man. I think that's what we all supposed to do for each other, man.
That's right.
We're supposed to inspire and we're supposed to pour into each other, man.
That's right.
If I left this interview and I wasn't fulfilled and you ain't fulfilled, then this wasn't a good interview.
Man, that's what I'm talking about, man. Kron Riley, folks out there, man, this is an amazing brother, man. I'm so proud of him, seeing him on his journey here. Kron, if folks want to reach out to you and get a hold of you, what's the best way to follow you or what have you?
Well, I always say this, man. If you're African descent on these interviews, before you follow me, follow yourself.
Read a couple books. Yeah.
I'm gonna tell you a couple books you should look into reading. The Destruction of the African Civilization is one. Look at Christ Before Christianity by Dr. John Henry Clark, and download Dr. John Henry Clark's lectures on iTunes. Right after you download WAP, download Dr. John Henry Clark's lectures on iTunes and start listening to probably one of our most well-read scholars of our time. He passed away, but his lectures are on iTunes, and he will give you a blueprint of what you should read other than those other books I mentioned. And we got to start getting back to learn our self-knowledge past what they've given us. If they gave it to you, you got to basically don't trust it.
Absolutely.
So that's what I tell you. Before you follow me, follow yourself and learn yourself. And then you can look me up, Karan Joseph Riley on all platforms, Karan J. Riley on Twitter, all that, yeah.
That's awesome, man.
I'm working to the point where you ain't got to find me. You ain't got to look for me. He's everywhere. You ain't got to look
for me.
They're everywhere. So soon I'll be everywhere like rain.
That's what I'm talking about. I'll even throw in there The Miseducation of the Negro by Carter G. Woodson, one of my favorite books as well, man.
Yeah.
Yep. Hey, so come on. We talked about some serious stuff here. You ready to have some fun? We're going to have some fun on this podcast, all right?
Always love fun, baby.
So the second part of this podcast is what we call the rapid fire portion, purpose questions, all right? That's your little mama there? Hey, little mama. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to ask you a bunch of questions around purpose, rapid fire. I'm not going to elaborate on them. Just give us your best answer.
Okay, got it.
All right, here we go. Karan, tell us how you have turned a dream into reality.
Hard work, perseverance, and belief.
What gives your life meaning?
My legacy.
If money wasn't an issue for you, what would you do with your time?
Make movies and ride my bike all over the world.
I love it. What word best describes you?
One word that best describes me would be unstoppable.
Unstoppable. Okay, good. What problem do you want to solve in our world?
Sickle cell.
Okay. What was your favorite thing to do as a kid?
Play.
Okay. What do you wish you had more time to do?
Ride my bike.
Ride the bike. Okay, good. What did your 15-year-old self imagine you would be doing right now?
Exactly what I'm doing right now.
Okay. Love it. If you could teach someone something, what would you be teaching them?
Self-belief, self-love.
Okay. Who inspires you the most?
My mother.
Okay. Awesome. What's something about yourself that we might be surprised to learn about you?
I love comic books.
Okay. Good. What's on your bucket list to do within the next year?
Go to Africa.
What's something you'll spend time doing no matter what?
Watching movies.
Okay. What do you want your grandchildren to say about you?
That the mission ain't done. Papa says we got to keep pedaling until it's done, because we got to prepare a nice situation for when he comes back.
I love it. If you were a superhero, what would your superpower be?
Flight.
Okay. If I walked around your home right now, what clues would reveal to me what it is that you love?
Movies.
Okay. What do you love to learn about?
Myself and my culture.
Okay, good. What sparks your creativity?
Everything.
Okay. If you became president today, what law would you pass first?
We would rewrite the Constitution to suit the people of the country, honestly and truthfully.
Okay, like that. If you could follow someone around for a day, who would it be and why?
If I could follow, that's a good one. Jeez. Denzel Washington.
Denzel.
Because he's had such a great career. And he just seems a disciple. I always tell people I would just love to sit down and have dinner with him.
Yeah. Awesome. What do you love to do for others?
Be myself. Which takes care of everything because I'm a giving person already. So
yeah. That's awesome. What's been the best gift someone's ever given you?
Self-love. Huh?
What's the best compliment you've ever received?
What I tell myself every day. I'm great.
Great. There we go. That's what I'm talking about. What's one thing you have never been afraid to do?
Try.
Okay, good. What moment from your childhood are you most proud of?
Everyone.
Everyone. Good.
Everyone.
Okay. What does success look like for you?
My family's healthy. My kids are being vibrant. And we can do anything we want to do when we want to do it.
That's what I'm talking about. If I were to speak to the people who know you best, what would they say your purpose is in life?
To lead and inspire. Okay.
What's been the biggest lesson you have learned in life?
That you got one. Make it count.
And last but not least, how do you want to be remembered in history?
Changing the world.
That's what I'm talking about. Come on, give yourself a round of applause, brother. You made it, man. Great job, man. I appreciate you sharing those insights with us, brother. Karan, so the purpose of this podcast is to really give people insights into two things, resiliency and purpose. What are the last two thoughts you can share with the audience around resiliency and purpose?
I'll leave them with this, which is one of my models that I tell, like with my production company and team, I always say this, we don't chase purpose. We don't chase people. We chase our purpose.
Yeah.
We don't chase money. We chase our greatness.
Yes.
So to figure out what you said, purpose and resiliency, if you find your purpose, it comes with resiliency.
Yes. Yes. That is beautiful, brother.
It's an accessory to purpose. If you're in your purpose, resiliency comes with it.
Nothing can stop you, right?
It's an everlasting fuel.
Yes, yes. Man, very well said, brother. I appreciate you big time for joining me, man. Folks out there, let's give Karan Riley another round of applause, brother, for joining us, man. Thank you for your insights and everything else. Folks, if you're someone out there who is an overcomer, has an amazing story, we want to hear from you. Ask you go to our website, tawatson.com, share your story with us. Please be sure to subscribe to our podcast, Resilient Stories. Download this episode, review it. Share with your folks on social media. We're always looking for sponsors as well. But our website, and again, thank you, everyone. God bless. Peace and deuces.
Yours truly, Dr. Watson.